Victor Hugo, in his novel Les Misérables, writes of the Battle of Waterloo these words: "Had it not rained on the night of the 17th, 18th of June, 1815, the future of Europe would have been different. A few drops of water, more or less, were what decided Napoleon's fate. An unseasonably cloudy sky sufficed to bring about the collapse of a world. It appears to us that a series of hazards dictated the course of events at Waterloo. So, we must view Waterloo coolly, rendering unto chance what belongs to chance, and to God what belongs to God." It was not in the true sense of victory. It was a lucky throw of the dice. I think in life there are many things that we might describe that way, as chance, a lucky throw of the dice, an accident, coincidence, mere happenings. I have two friends here in All Souls who are preparing for their wedding day. And they first met here in All Souls when Richard Buse, our rector, during one of the services, said, "Now turn to your neighbour and introduce yourself." A chance event? You see, even in his own words, Victor Hugo suggests a different way of seeing things. Yes, we can see things as a chance, an accident, a mere throw of the dice. Or we can see in them God. God working out his purposes. Not in a fatalistic way, but God's plans being worked out through the events of our lives and through the events of history. Now, as we think of Christmas, I think we can see Christmas in one of these two ways. We can see Christmas as an accident, a chance event, or we can see Christmas as God planned and God purposed. You could say that it was unfortunate that as Mary was due to give birth, they hit the census and had to go to Bethlehem. Or you could say God had planned it and foretold it before time. You could say, well, it was a pity they didn't get there just a few days earlier and grab the last double room in the hotel. Or you could say that God planned it that way, that actually there was a point behind the Son of God leaving heaven, the sapphire-paved courts for stable floor. You could say it was a pity that the only people available in the middle of the night to visit were the shepherds. Or you could say that God planned it so that we might know that Jesus Christ came for all people, the outcasts, for that's what the shepherds were, included. Yes, you could say Christmas was an accident, or you could say it's God planned. I think it'll surprise us when we look at the scriptures, we see that the scriptures present Christmas not as an accident, but as planned by God. That passage we had read as our last reading from Titus, chapter 2, perhaps you'd like to turn with me in the Bibles. The back of the Bible, page 201. It presents, and this in a sense is our first point, it presents Christmas not just as an accident, but indeed as the planning of God. But there in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, "For the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all people." The grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all people. When we read there, the grace of God, we can take that to mean God's saving love. And when Paul writes of the grace of God has appeared, he's referring to those historic events of that first Christmas. The coming of Jesus Christ, God's Son, into the world. It was the work of God. It was not just an accident. It was a point in time that God had planned, prepared, and even waited for. And it was an act by which God was working out his purposes. Now, as we stand here all these centuries later, thousands of miles from that actual event, if we look back at Christmas and say it was just an accident, a series of chance happenings, in a sense it means we've missed God altogether. It's like getting up early one November morning and going down to towards the Bank of England and standing there and waiting for the Lord's Mayor show, and missing the Lord Mayor. We've missed the point of it. See, Christmas is about God becoming man in Jesus Christ. And it only has meaning in that. It only has meaning when we see it as the planned, prepared actions of God. So firstly, Christmas was not just an accident. But then you might point out to me, well, a lot has happened since Waterloo. A lot has happened since Waterloo that renders the outcome of the battle, in many ways, unimportant. Does it matter who won? Well, to us sitting here tonight, it matters quite a little bit, because this church was erected as a celebration of the Battle of Waterloo, so we probably wouldn't have been here if we hadn't won. But apart from that, I actually find it difficult as I think back to see anything in my life. Waterloo, in many ways, is consigned to the history books, a film to repeat it on television every so often. But can we say the same of Christmas? Is that the same? Just a past event to be remembered and celebrated, perhaps in the way that we remember Armistice Day? I don't know whether you've had the opportunity of walking along Oxford Street in the last few days and looking at the windows of Selfridges. This window display this year depicts the biblical account of the birth of Jesus Christ. I think in this day of commercialism, where pink elephants and green turtles rule okay, and in the press of pluralistic tolerance, where to present one faith without presenting other faiths is seen as bigoted, I think it's very courageous and commendable of Selfridges to present their windows in the way they have done this year. So I don't want to knock them. But as I looked at them, I just wondered whether the windows betrayed a strain of thinking. A strain of thinking that sees the Christmas story as only a past event. So we have the narrative in nice ancient script, using the authorized version of 1661. We have a kind of presentation of the holy couple and child in pre-Raphaelite terms, with halos surrounding them. Very nice, but I got the impression that Christmas was being presented to me as simply a past event. And that's how it is for many people. A past event, it's nice to remember, but it actually has no more relevance to today than the Battle of Waterloo. Now, you may view it that way. Perhaps you're stuck with the spirit of Christmas past, remembering Christmases as they used to be. And if you think of Christ at all, thinking only of the birth of Christ in historical terms. But you see, this verse in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 suggests more. Yes, there is the past tense. The grace of God has appeared. But the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all people, training us to renounce irreligion and worldly passions. It's present tense. Salvation now, training us here and now. Christmas is not just a past event. It is present tense. So secondly, Christmas, not just a past event. Some weeks ago, I was talking to a young man about his life. And he was telling me how, as a surveyor in his late 20s, he had a change in his life. That earlier this year, he would not in any way describe himself as a follower of Jesus Christ. But through the friendship of people here in All Souls, through one or two of our groups, and through, above all, his own experience, his life had been totally changed. So that now he would say, yes, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Begun on the path of discipleship with Jesus Christ. With a new motivation for life, a new meaning for life, a new purpose for life. It was nothing dramatic. It was slow, but it is sure. The present tense of Christmas. Christmas is a present event. That man and many people all the way around the globe, and all the way through history, from the birth of Christ until now, testify to Christmas being a present tense, an event that is changing and forming lives here and now. But you see, then it goes on. The spirit of Christmas is not just present, it's also future. Because in the verse that follows, it says, we're awaiting our blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So even as we celebrate the appearing of Jesus Christ, we look towards his reappearing. And the scriptures teach us very clearly that Jesus Christ will return in power and in glory. The one who came as a helpless babe in a stable in Bethlehem will return as king over the whole world. So for those who may be stuck with the spirit of Christmas past, let me say to you that Christmas is not just a past event. It is a present experience, and it has a future reality in the return of Jesus Christ. Let's be in no doubt. Let's be in no doubt this Christmas that Christmas can in no way be consigned to the history books. Christmas can in no way be consigned to static displays in shop windows, to Christmas cards depicting old coaching inns or top-hatted carol singers under gas lamps. Christmas is not just a past event. The spirit of Jesus Christ is changing lives here and now. The spirit of Christmas is active, not static, present, not past, changing lives, moulding lives, preparing us for the return. So Christmas is not just an accident, and it's not just a past event. But then also, thirdly, Christmas is not just a nice story. Early on we had that very helpful sketch of the two ladies at the nativity scene. And they were looking at the sweetness of the scene, the picturesque nature of the infant baby. And they were unable to see beyond the manger. A nice story. Now, I, like many proud parents, have been visiting school this week to see my daughter in her Christmas play. And the story told with Joseph and Mary and a cast of thousands so that everybody can be included in it. Never seen so many snowflakes and stars. And it presents a very nice picture, a nice story for children, because it's a baby. But Christmas is not just a nice story. For the grace of God appeared for the salvation of all people. And that very term speaks of death. Christmas leads on to the death of Christ. Overshadowing the manger is the cross, the death clouding the birth. Jesus Christ cannot stay in the manger forever. The grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all people. It has been marvelous, hasn't it, in these last days to see the hostages returning from Kuwait and Iraq, bringing great joy as they returned into their relationships with friends and family. Yes, our thoughts are very much still with the people of Kuwait in that situation. But here were people whose lives were in real danger, being rescued out of that very real danger and restored into their relationships. And you see, that is salvation. That's what salvation means. The act of rescue from danger that threatens life, and the restoration of relationship. Now you may say to yourself, well, in this nice warm church in central London a few days before Christmas, what danger am I in? Let me tell you, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, then I believe you're in fact in real danger. See, all of us at different points in our lives, in different ways, have rejected God. It may have been a conscious decision to say, I understand there is a God, I don't want anything to do with him. It may simply be by living as if God doesn't exist. But all of us have turned our backs upon God. And that's what the Bible describes as sin. And the result of that action, whether it's conscious or unconscious, is to cut us off from God. To leave us in a situation where we're separated from God, unless in some way we can get back, unable to restore the relationship. And as a result, in danger of final, complete separation from God that the scriptures call hell. Now, all of us have been in that position at some point. And perhaps some here in church tonight are still, if they're honest, in that situation. In terms of God, we're lost. Lost through going our own way and in real danger of being cut off from God forever. I don't know about you, but I have to own up to laughing at a recent story in the press of a man who left Kent to drive to Durham. You read it as well. 10 hours later, he was stopped just 20 miles from home on third, fourth, fifth lap of the M25. And he hadn't been in a traffic jam. Now, until the police stopped him, he didn't know he was lost. Or did he? I mean, to not know, he would have actively had to reject every piece of information coming to him. As he drove past Heathrow for the third time, he must have almost shut up his mind. And even when the police stopped him, he refused the most obvious information that he was lost and listened to the Geordie accent of the policeman and was assured that he was near Durham. Now I wonder, are you sitting here tonight in a sense ignoring the signs that are saying to you, in terms of God, you are lost? Are you saying, well, I'm all right? Are you saying I don't need saving? Are you saying I'm not in any kind of danger? Let me suggest otherwise. Let me ask you where you're going in life. What is the purpose, the hope, the aspiration of your life? Are you heading for the top of your profession? And then what? Towards becoming an ideal parent? And then what? Towards a comfortable retirement? And then what? What is your life all about? See, our lives were created by God, created to be lived in a relationship with God. And all the time we live life without reference to God, we are in effect lost. To say, I don't need God's help, is to ignore all the signs that are coming to you. Signs that are saying this way to meaning. Signs that are suggesting your present way is leading to a dead end. Signs that are saying life is more than a circular tour from life, from birth to death. Signs that question our self-sufficiency. Signs that speak of God. If you think you don't need salvation, let me ask you to think again, to look at the signs, and especially look at the sign of Christmas, the planned action of God in Jesus Christ for salvation of all people. The grace of God has appeared for salvation. Christ came to a world of human beings that, because of their eagerness to do their things their own way, were cut off from God. Going round and round in circles, looking for hope, looking for purpose, looking for meaning, looking for God, but unable to find him. Unable to restore their relationship with God because of their own sin, their own wrong actions, their own rejection of God. And we're no different. We're no different. Many of us in this place tonight have found Jesus Christ, but only because we recognized that we were lost and in need of coming back to God. Jesus Christ came to rescue us from real danger and to restore to us a relationship with the Heavenly Father. Now, you can ignore the signs. You can walk out of here tonight and ignore everything that's been said or sung about Jesus Christ. You can carry on your own way. Perhaps to travel forever around the M25 is not a bad analogy for hell. You can carry on your own way, ignoring God, saying God doesn't exist. And God will allow you that. But God wants you. God wants you to be in a right relationship with him. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. God wants each and every one of us in this place tonight to know him, to love him, and to enjoy the life that he offers to us. But he does give us the choice. Now you may say to me, well, that's fine, but is this salvation for me? You don't know what I'm like. Is it for me? It is for all people. You are included. God wants you as part of his worldwide family, who this Christmas will be giving praise and God to thanks for the birth of his son. You can be part of it, and God wants you to be part of it. Now perhaps you're saying, well, how can I do that? How can I be part of this worldwide family of Christians? First step, I think, will be at the end of the service to come and have a word with myself or one of my friends. We're going to be standing here at the front. I've got a couple of little booklets, a booklet on recognizing Jesus that will help us to look at Jesus and to see who he is, not just a babe in a manger, but the Son of God come for the salvation of all people. I'll give you also a copy of Luke's Gospel. We had our first reading from it tonight, of the shepherds coming, having heard about the appearing of God, coming to see for themselves. And then, if you'd like, we'll take your name and address. I'll write to you during the week. But please, don't just hear and say tomorrow. Hear and say today. That's the way into this worldwide family of God, here and now in church. Now perhaps it may be that you go away, still thinking, that's fine. But come back again. Don't let the thoughts die on you. The choice is there before each one of us. We're going to head on towards Christmas. In a couple of weeks' time, after Christmas, you may go back to work or meet some friends at the shops, and someone inevitably will say to you, did you have a good Christmas? And what will you say? What will you say? Christmas was not just an accident. It was planned by God with a purpose. It's not just a past event, for Jesus Christ is alive here and now, working in many lives. It's not just a nice story, for the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all people. I hope that you'll be one of those people that share in the salvation that Jesus Christ came for you. I hope that Christmas for you will be a happy one. That is our prayer. That is our thoughts as we come to the end of our service tonight. Please don't rush away. If you'd like to speak with us, I'll be here, and Roy Carcrea, I know you're down there with the friends in the overflow. He'll be with me as well, and some of our other friends to help. We're not going to pressurize you. We're not going to twist your arm. We're not going to force anything on you. We'll be happy to talk more about Jesus Christ and how you can begin. The grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all people. Let's just, as we sit, pause to pray. Father, we thank you for the dynamism of Christmas. Thank you that as we look at the child in a manger and are just amazed by the wonder of it, as we praise you for that precious gift of Jesus Christ into this world, we do pray, Father, you'd help us to look through the manger to the cross and to find there our forgiveness, our acceptance by you, that we might walk in a new relationship of love and peace with you. Grant us your grace this Christmas time, that we might know your presence, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.